Cigars in Cinema.
Will you bring in the cigars, please?
The movie review podcast that tackles the smoky side of cinema.
Cigar, Mike!
Each week, we review a movie that contains, in some way, shape, or form, someone smoking a cigar.
Cigars.
Fire is good.
We'll talk about who smoked it, where they smoked it, how they smoked it, and we'll probably make fun of them if they have no idea what they're doing.
What are you doing?
You never light a cigar that way.
So sit back, light up, and enjoy the podcast that has it all. Cigars.
Cigar. Smoke it.
Smoke it.
Movies.
Say hello to my little friend.
And General Mayhem.
My doggie. Wah!
Hey, everybody. It's Brandon Luna.
It's Randy Rankin.
And this is Cigars in Cinema. This is weird, man. We're doing this for the first time live. It's kind of strange. But kind of cool at the same time.
Yeah.
So we're doing a remake today. And it is a remake of a movie that was made in 1950-something.
62.
Okay, we're going with 62. Cape Fear. But we're doing the 90s version, the Scorsese version.
Yes.
Yep, so that's where we're going with that. So
The differences aren't that big.
They're not.
Pretty close.
But with that, we're going to do the Cape Fear trailer.
What's your connection with this fella?
I was his lawyer.
But you shafted him somehow, right?
And what was he in prison for?
No, really. But what did you do?
Have you been following me? Well, it's a small town. Every way you turn, I guess we're gonna run into each other.
Dad, you should have just punched him out. Yeah, you know how to fight dirty. You do that for a living.
This guy, he threatened you?
He's clever, so that the law can't touch him.
Come out, wherever you are.
You have a daughter around 16?
16? What?
Every good man's got to wrestle with the devil.
I want you the hell off my property!
You son of a...
You, sir, will be hearing from the Ethics Committee.
We got this freaking psychopath in our faces? I mean, who knows what's true and what isn't?
I'm just losing my mind here. I called the vet, and then he died.
Lee, I told you not to let him out.
I didn't let him out! I didn't let him out!
It would be unethical of me to advise a citizen to take the law into his own hands.
You thought about me last night, didn't you?
Evening, ladies.
Hello?
I think we're alone now.
Where are you from?
I'm from the Black Forest. Maybe I'm a big bad wolf. Do you mind if I put my arm around you?
I would categorize that as one of those trailers that gives away the entire movie.
Movie, yes.
The good lines are in there, everything. Uh-huh. It's just all there.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes, though.
It does. Yeah. And I have to preface this in a weird way. I'm not a Robert De Niro fan. I mean, he's a legend. I've liked a lot of his parts, you know, but...
He likes Robert De Niro's parts.
Yes, all the good parts. Never been a Jessica Lange fan at all. Nick Nolte, Juliette Lewis, But yet I like their performances in this movie.
I actually agree with that. I was talking to my wife about this movie because she didn't want to watch it again. She's like, that was a one-time watch for me. I have no, you know, reason to watch it again. I don't like any of the actors in it. And I started thinking about, you know what? I like De Niro in certain roles when he doesn't overact, because he's a big overactor.
Mm-hmm.
The accent seems a little false in this to me, but a lot of people think it's really good, whatever. I actually like Juliette Lewis in this movie, and probably about the only movie I like her in. I think she was good in it. She was young. It was just, you know, a new thing for her. She was very believable in it to me.
Yeah.
Just her performance, because she was a kid. She acted like a kid. It was appropriate.
I liked her in Christmas Vacation.
Well, yeah. She didn't have a whole lot to do in that, let's be honest. But, you know, it's just, I'm not a Nolte fan. I never have been a Nolte fan. He's not a great actor to me. He's there. He has a presence. You know, sure, he has a screen presence, but he's not just a fantastic actor. Probably the best thing that I've seen him in that I like that I would watch is kind of an under-the-radar movie that a lot of people didn't really talk about. It's called Extreme Prejudice. It was a Walter Hill flick.
Yeah, that wasn't
kind of a modern-day Western with Powers Booth. And really, Powers Booth sold that movie. It was Powers Booth. It was Rip Torn. Those were the people in that movie that really sold it. Nick Nolte was just the guy in the white hat. He was the there. Good guy.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Even in 48 Hours, I wasn't.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Eddie yeah, Murphy the one with, the, hours, yeah. with Eddie Murphy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he played well off Eddie Murphy as a straight man, but it was just,
anybody could have played that part.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. So, yeah, not a big fan of his either, really.
Yeah.
But I do like the movie. I think it's very Hitchcockian, which mm-hmm. the original was, too. I mean, the original mm-hmm. one, Hitchcock was actually quoted as saying, they out Hitchcock at Hitchcock. So, mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know, that was very well done. I haven't seen the original in a long time, so it's kind of hard for me
I brought it for
to
you.
Separate it. Excellent, yeah, excellent, yeah. Really nice, yeah. But, I, you know, I have seen this one probably more than, no. I probably have seen the original more times
because
I think my dad liked it a lot, and I remember watching it with him several times on HBO or whatever it was, mm-hmm. you know, whatever channel it was on at the time. Because he's a big Robert Mitchum guy. My dad likes Robert Mitchum a lot,
was so. Awesome.
He's just awesome. He's a real, real tough guy. You know,
he was a dude,
life.
Man.
Yeah, he was a dude. Yeah,
yeah.
So and Gregory Peck too. You know, so,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
a hell of a cast in the original.
Right.
So you can't really go wrong with that.
And they're both in this one.
Yeah, that's
and kind of a role reversal.
Yeah, kind of a cool. neat little factoid there. Uh-huh. Yeah, so as far as Scorsese flicks go, it was very anti-Scorsese, really.
Yeah, it was different.
In a lot of ways.
No gangsters.
yeah, no gangsters, know? and it felt like a genre piece, and he wasn't trying to, you know, label it as one of his movies. Mm-hmm. You know, there were certain elements that were a little weird, like the whole black and white positive negative thing, which I thought was kind of a weird choice. It was mm-hmm. probably more of an editing choice than a directing choice, but I thought it was kind of weird. But other than that, I mean, it just, you know, didn't have really a Scorsese feel to it mm-mm. beyond the fact that De Niro was in it, you know. So
right,
but overall, it's a pretty good movie. So you want to give a rundown of what the plot is?
Okay, basically, Nick Nolte is a defense attorney. And several years earlier, he had defended Max Cady, one of those names that is just a great bad guy
it
name.
Is a great
I
bad
love
guy
that name.
Yeah.
And what he realized that he was guilty,
mm-hmm.
so he buried some evidence.
Yes, he did.
To make sure that he got a conviction.
And from what I've heard, there's a more defined reason for him to go after him in this movie than there was in the original. In the original, they
I think
really
so. Yeah, I think so.
They really didn't cover that part of it, but
yeah. In the first one, it's just he's pissed that he got put in jail. He blames his lawyer for it, but you didn't get the he buried evidence
side of it. Yeah,
so he buries evidence, and while Max Cady, I'm going to keep saying that name's awesome.
It is
while
an awesome
Max
name.
Cady is in prison. He starts reading law books, so he knows the law to the letter.
Yep.
So he gets released. He shows up in this small North Carolina town that Nick Nolte's family's in. He's a big shot attorney now. Might even be a... Is he a DA? I can't remember.
No, he's just a defense.
He calls
him counselor the whole time, but he's a defense attorney.
They did that
still.
The first movie, too.
Yeah.
So Max decides to start tormenting Nick Nolte and his family because he knows Nick Nolte did something to cause his conviction.
Yeah.
And it escalates.
Yeah, it does. And what's good about it is he's a very malicious bad guy. You can definitely tell he's evil, but he's also very smart.
Very.
You know, in the way that he does things and the way that he ropes Sam, who is the defense attorney character's name, Sam Bowden, how he ropes him into basically play. He's playing him like a fiddle or like a puppet master, you know, if you want to put it that way, to get him to do things to make it look like he's the victim.
Yeah, he's egging him on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And he falls for it several times. Yeah, several times. So it's definitely a very intense flick. Very relationship driven, which is good because I think it's necessary for this type of movie. You get to see how the family's fragmented. It seems like they're very happy at the beginning, but there's little hints and stuff.
Yes.
You know, once you see that he's sort of cheating on his wife, but not really because he's never officially done anything, quote unquote, but they have a relationship with this girl who's ugly, by the way, Ileana Douglas.
I know she's
attractive, but nice rack though. But
yeah.
So he's got a pseudo relationship with one of his underlings, and Max uses that to his advantage to kind of push it towards
his wife.
And
that's one of the more intense scenes.
Yeah, very intense scene.
Max decides to try to date Ileana Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the most disturbing, second most disturbing scene.
Yeah.
The one later with the daughter is pretty disturbing.
It's very disturbing, yeah. So I kind of went on the message boards on IMDb and was reading some stuff about it, and this point was brought up, and it's actually a pretty good point. If you watch this movie when it came out in the 90s, you know, Robert De Niro's covered in tattoos, just looks like a bad guy, and at that time, tattoos weren't as big as they are now, so that kind of played into bad guy thing.
Yeah, that was a bad guy symbol if you had tattoos.
You know, just like cigars have become in movies. I mean, this is one of those movies that perpetuates that myth that all bad guys smoke cigars.
Right.
But, you know, there's a great line that Joe Don Baker has in the movie.
Yeah, I wanted to get to Joe Don Baker.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know whether to look at him or read him. It's just like, you know, because he's got all his tattoos.
Yeah, we didn't mention Joe Don Baker's in this.
Yeah.
One of his last real notable. Is that the word I'm looking for? Yeah notable world. And
noteworthy.
That scene is.
Yeah.
And that's in both movies. They show that scene in both movies.
Yeah.
So basically, what happens is De Niro's or Max Cady has been just tormenting Nick Nolte and his family. Mm. He's trying to develop a relationship with his daughter.
Yeah, and trying to really, he's putting the needles in not just Sam, but everybody.
Yes.
To get them to fight with each other, you know, and just break up the family. Yeah. And it's really smart the way he does it. I mean, he gets to the wife individually, the dog.
Yeah.
You know, he gets to the daughter with that creepy scene later. And, you know, he does it very effectively, so.
So there's this scene where, and it was in the trailer, Robert Mitchum basically says, I can't legally tell you to take the matter in your own hands, but kind of wink, wink.
Yeah, I know a guy.
Yeah.
Sends him over to Joe Don Baker.
Sends Joe Don Baker and his thugs, and that scene actually broke my heart when I watched it, because I wanted them to win.
Yeah.
And he had it figured out. He knew exactly what they were going to do, and he winds up winning.
And that's
fight.
Where the famous little line comes out. This one here.
Come out wherever you are.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's a good one. So the way that he actually introduces himself to the family is classic. Mm-hmm. You know, they go to the movies to see a movie together, and this is the happy family time. You know, it's like everybody's happy to be together. They're going to go see this movie.
Right.
And they're going to see freaking, what was that crappy movie with John Ritter about the kid? Problem Child.
Oh, Problem
is
Child.
The movie
yes.
that they're showing in yes. the theater. But you get, you know, this great introduction because Max Cady is sitting there smoking a cigar in a theater. And the scene bugs me. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but if you really watch the scene, there's smoke coming from behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, guys? You couldn't figure a better way to do that?
And can't just let him smoke?
Front of him? Yeah, exactly. Just get a really smoky cigar and just, you know, I don't know. That bugged me. But he does that great crazy cackly laugh that he does in that scene.
I'm about to go on the air.
It's just creepy, you know?
And he's trying to draw attention to himself.
He really is, yeah.
Yeah. Because he wants to irritate people, and he wants Nick Nolte's character to recognize him.
Yeah, he does, yeah. And that's a great way to do it. I mean, it's just an evil little scene there where a bad guy smoking a cigar, unfortunately.
So, and we talked over that drop, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. No, that's fine. So to get to the cigars in cinema, I'll go over those real quick, and then we'll discuss the rest of the movie. At the 6-minute, 15-second mark, Max Cady is in the theater, and that's when he's smoking in the scene we just talked about. The 10-minute mark, Max confronts Sam Bowden and smoking a cigar there. That's when he takes his keys out of his car, has that little discussion with him about, you know, I'm here now, and we're probably going to run into each other all the time, and you know, everything's kind of above board except for him taking the keys, obviously. And then he walks away. He's like, "You're going to learn about loss." And he's like, "What? What'd you say to me?" And then at the 50-minute mark, Cady and Joe Don Baker square off, and it's a great scene. I want to have that little snippet in here of that some of the dialogue there because it's reminiscent of something that Robert De Niro is famous for. Nice of my brain to not work. I'm trying to play a drop.
Because I like to plan my comings and goings with friends. But if you're not my friend, you're planning my comings and goings, I'd call that presumptuous. In fact, I'd call it downright rude. Because I ain't your porch baby, buddy.
Gee, golly gosh. I sure am sorry I offended you, you white trash piece of shit.
Ooh, I got the all over fidges on that one. You're really shaking me up. I'm shivering all over. Ooh. It's not necessary to lay a foul tongue on me, my friend. I could get upset. Things could get out of hand. And then in self-defense, I could do something to you that you would not like right here.
Anytime you feel squirrely, you just jump.
You threatening me?
You catch on fast.
Because I'm well within my rights to be here, and you know it.
If I stay here, what you gonna do?
I don't give a rat's ass about your rights. You just watch your step. And you know what I'm talking about.
What you gonna do, arrest me? You a cop? Or were you a cop? Or were you not good enough to remain on the force? Because you know, well, that's the feeling I'm getting here.
It's a great scene.
It is.
And he has that, you threatening me? Are you threatening me? Which is right up there with the whole, you talking to me? Talking to me?
I don't give a rat's ass about your rights.
Exactly.
Oh, good golly. Awesome, man.
Were you ever really a fan of Jordan Baker? I mean,
yes. Yes. I liked him.
I liked him, too.
I love the Walking Tall movie.
Oh, yeah.
He was great as the whammer in The Natural.
Yeah.
I thought he was Babe Ruth. He looked Babe Ruth.
He buried John Goodman in that. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Any day of the week.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So to get into more of the cigars real quick, at the 1 hour, 9 minute mark, Katie has Sam in the restaurant, and he actually coaxes him to threaten him.
Yes.
Which is exactly what he wanted to do. And he should have known when he said, would you repeat that? Come on, you know.
Well, they addressed it in the trailer.
Yeah.
His family starts to realize that he's a pussy.
Yeah.
That Nick Nolte's character is a pussy.
Yeah.
She says, you should know how to kick ass. It's what you do for a living, you know.
Exactly.
And his daughter's like, why didn't he punch his lights out?
You know?
And that starts to wear on me, is that Nolte, first of all, he's fallen for the, or he's taken the bait.
Yeah.
But he's not taking offense. He's not going after him. I know he's probably scared of him.
He has that one scene at the parade where he does cross through the parade pushes him, basically. Mm-hmm. But then he uses it again to his advantage. Like, why is this guy pushing me? Who is this guy? Yeah, and everybody's what the hell? You know, he takes the bait there to get physical, but he does it too little too late.
Yeah.
At the 1 hour, 13 minute mark, that's where Max Cady gets a shit kicked out of him and then kicks the shit out of everybody else.
Yeah.
And there's that moment there where he's like, he hears him, what's his name? Nick Nolte's hiding behind a dumpster and kicks a bottle. And man, it gets intense because he's like sneaking up on him. He's like, are you there, counselor? Are you there?
Yeah.
Come on. You know, waiting for it to just unhinge right there, and it doesn't happen. But
yeah.
And then you got the 1 hour, 34 minute mark where Katie's in Sam's room. And that's already when he's in the house. He sees him. He wakes up
that's
and sees
him. That's a scary scene.
That is the scary scene.
Yeah.
And then that's when he gets Jordan Baker and the maid, poor maid. She didn't do anything wrong. She's just there. And then the 1 hour, 51 minute mark, Max lights a cigar. And that's when Danny, the daughter, sets him on fire. Yes. So again, cigars are bad.
Right.
If you smoke them, you will be
set
on
fire.
You
have tattoos. And cigars.
Exactly. So, yeah, you know.
Overall, it's a thumbs up popcorn movie.
Yeah,
for
sure.
It's fun. Mike's wife and I, on a rainy Saturday, she'd never seen the original, so we watched them back to back. And it was actually fun. That was kind of cool to see it that way.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do, and I couldn't find the original on Netflix or anything. Like I said. So.
Robert Mitchum, to me, does a better job than De Niro, because in the 90s, there were less restrictions on what you could show in a movie. You know, the scene with Ileana Douglas, they could not have shown that in 62. Yeah. But Mitchum was creepy as hell in that first one. And the way he said counselor was scarier than De Niro.
Yeah.
What's up, counselor?
Now, to get to the creepiest scene in the movie, which I think the Ileana Douglas scene's probably the creepiest to me. It's just really, it's rapey and violent, and that's always uncomfortable.
I don't know why we're not having spoilers. This movie came out in 91.
No, this movie came out so long. Yeah, if you haven't seen it,
he bites her cheek off.
Yes, he did. And and she's handcuffed, so she can't do a damn thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah.
And then the other scene, which is also very uncomfortable, is where Max pretends to be Danny's teacher, meets her at
her
school.
Her drama teacher.
Drama teacher, and proceeds to basically woo her, and then ends up, you know, they sticks his thumb in her mouth and, you know, makes out with her, and it's just like,
it's really creepy. Creepy. But really, you know, really in the original, they did play up that with the daughter thing. That was, and for 62, that was a little out there.
Mm.
But, of course, not as creepy as the 91 version.
Not as creepy as this.
You're not the drama teacher, are you?
Maybe I'm the big bad wolf.
You know?
Yeah.
Just a... Yeah.
A slime ball.
What a sleazeball. I know. Just a... God.
You know, Nolte's character could have just killed him.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Gotten 3 years, you know, 4 years, whatever. You save your family.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he puts us out.
Any number of times that he could have easily killed him, yeah. So, yeah, but it's definitely an intense flick, and it's definitely worth a watch. If you haven't seen it, you know, then shame on you. Watch it. If you have seen it and you haven't seen it recently, give it another watch. And if you're listening to this show and you're a fan of the show, you probably did watch it before the show, or at least I hope you did, because that's the idea, is you watch it and listen to us talk about it and maybe agree and disagree.
Exactly.
Yeah. So eventually,
why didn't you mention this part?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Because stream of consciousness, man. We just talk about whatever we talk about.
Right.
But so we are using a new software today that actually will allow eventually people to call in on Skype. We can also do a chat type thing if we do it live. So that's something we're going to look into doing later. If you guys want us to do that, let us know. Yeah. Make the comments and the YouTube and the Podomatic and iTunes about that option. I think that'd be kind of cool to have people call in and weigh in on the movies.
That way we can tell them you're stupid.
No, exactly. Right. That guy's stupid. So, anyway, we're going to get into some of the IMDb factoids.
Well, I wanted to talk about the Gregory Peck, Robert Mitchum thing.
Okay, go for it.
Because, Gregory Peck was the Nick Nolte character. Mm-hmm. Robert Mitchum was the De Niro character. Mm-hmm. And this one, Mitchum's on the Nick Nolte character's side. Gregory Peck is against him. And I always loved Gregory Peck. But his character pissed me off in this movie. He was a dick.
He was a dick. A
total dick. And I'm like, I don't want to see Gregory Peck be a dick.
Yeah. You know? Well, you definitely don't want to see him in Boys from Brazil, because he's playing like a Nazi asshole in that.
Yeah, I've seen that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird seeing him play that kind of character. You're like, no, it's...
You're Atticus Finch.
I know, right? No, Atticus, no. the first thing I thought of when I saw it.
I read the sequel, or the prequel.
Oh, did you?
To Kill Mockingbird. It's not as bad as people think.
Yeah.
Yes, he is racist. She describes the reason why he took that case in To Kill a Mockingbird was just because he thought it needed to be done.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because he had these strong feelings for African Americans. No, he was a racist. He just took the part. And it was disheartening.
Yeah.
But she straightens it out at the end, and you finally start realizing that while Atticus' feelings were wrong, you understood why he had them. And I give it a thumbs up. So I've got it on CD. I'll loan it to you for a road trip or something.
Okay, cool. Yeah, definitely check that out. Yeah, I heard so much about it, and I'm like, oh, man, that's just what a stab to the heart to write the character like that. It's like, why would you do that? Yeah. I mean, what's the purpose of that?
Well, she did write it first.
Yeah.
They just didn't release it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought it was a sequel written as a prequel.
Was the book bogs down a bit, and she does flashbacks to her childhood, because she's older. She's a grown-up now. And the publishing company said, we like the stuff about your flashbacks better than the... So that's why she wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, about her being as a child.
Ah,
so that's
okay.
Why, yeah.
Interesting. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh.
Along came A Watchman, I think is the name of the sequel.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Sequel / prequel.
Prequel, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. But let's get into some IMDb factoids here, as long as I've got that stuff up.
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
That's our little bumper for our IMDb factoids.
Yes, it is the fact. Like that.
Yeah, it is the facts. So here's some IMDb trivia for you. Robert De Niro's thick Max Cady accent reportedly gave Scorsese the heebie-jeebies.
Really?
So since De Niro knew that, he would call the director's house, leave messages as Cady.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
That's funny.
The scene in the high school auditorium with him and Lewis, totally ad-libbed. They did it three times, ended up keeping the first take.
Wow.
And as a result of that scene, she had a crush on him.
Really?
Also... kind of creepy.
Very creepy.
Martin Scorsese's first choice for the role of Bowden was Harrison Ford.
Okay, I would have bought it.
And he actually had Robert De Niro call Harrison Ford and try and convince him to take the part, but he didn't want it. So
that's because he's a dick.
Yeah, plus, I don't think he would have done much better. He's kind of a flat actor. You know?
Yeah.
So, Robert De Niro was tattooed. He actually was tattooed with vegetable dyes that faded after a few months.
Okay.
So, you know, he's a hardcore guy, though. He's one of these method actors that does all that shit. And he actually had dental work done to make his teeth look messed up for the movie. He had $5,000 worth of dental work done, like teeth removed, blackened up, all kinds of stuff, to play the part. And then after the movie was over, $20,000 to fix it. That's kind of like what Jim Carrey did for Dumb and Dumber. He had that gap or something, and he had it taken back out.
Broken half tooth.
Yeah, the chip is
tooth. So method.
Yeah.
That Costner and De Palma almost backed out of Untouchables because he wanted to make sure he gained 70 pounds, 50 pounds, whatever. So he could be fat like Al Capone. Mm. So it took him several months of delay to get that to happen.
Instead of wearing a fat suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just De Niro, man.
Yeah, the Katy accent came from an early role where he played a Southerner. To prepare for the role, he took excerpts of the script and put them on a tape recorder and then went to Southern towns and asked locals to read the lines into a tape. So, super method, Gregory Peck's final appearance in a theatrical film release.
Was it really? Yeah. Wow.
Steven Spielberg was attached to take the role as director on this, and when he was, guess who he had cast as Katy?
Tom Hanks?
Bill Murray.
Wow, I don't know how that would have worked.
Would he play it like, what about Bob or something? Just annoying like that?
Yeah, that's funny.
That's really weird.
The Nulty part or the...
As the Max Katy role.
Bill Murray? No.
Yeah, I don't see that at all.
I could see Tom Hanks being the Nick Nulty character, and he probably liked it even better.
Yeah, exactly. So here's what we were talking about earlier. Gregory Peck starred in Cape Fear in 1962, appears as Katy's lawyer. Robert Mitchum played Max Katy in the 62 version. They both appear. Lieutenant Elgert, Martin Balsam, played Mark Dutton in the 62 version and the judge in this version. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, right? he was the chief of police in the first one, the original, and then the judge in this one.
Yeah. Robert De Niro researched sexual predator crimes for the part and suggested a scene where his character bites the victim. So that was his suggestion.
Wow.
Yeah. Creeper. Did a lot of working out, Robert De Niro, that is, before the role, because he wanted to compete with the size of Nick Nolte, because Nick Nolte is like 6'4", and Robert De Niro's 5'9".
Yeah.
So in Turnabout there, Nick Nolte stopped working out and lost a lot of weight and tried to slim down for the role so he didn't look as imposing, I guess.
Okay.
Apparently, Robert De Niro got down to 3% body fat.
Wow.
Which is quite an accomplishment there. Martin Scorsese read the original script 3 times while making Goodfellas and hated it each time because he hated that the Bowdens were happy. So he wanted
some dysfunction.
Unhappy them. Yeah, added a little more dysfunction there. When Spielberg turned down the directing of the film, he actually picked Martin Scorsese for it and let him know about it. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Barrymore tested for the role of Danielle, which is the Juliette Lewis role, but apparently bombed the audition so bad that she said it was her biggest disaster of her life. And Reese Witherspoon also auditioned for the role.
Really? She was nobody then?
No, she was a kid at that point. So
yeah.
During the opening sequence, Max Katy is seen working out in his cell, and the camera pans over the jail reading material. One of the books on the shelf is called The Cell Within by Jake Manning. It's not actually a published book. It was made for an episode of Miami Vice.
And wow.
Reused a prop.
Nice. That's funny.
So an 80s prop getting used in a 90s movie.
90s movie.
But they do that, though. I mean, there's like this one license plate that's been in like a million movies, apparently. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it is right now, but yeah. So it took more than a year to convince Martin Scorsese to take the role. Alyssa Milano was offered the role, but she turned it down because Tony Danson told her not to take it.
Yeah, he used to steer her career at one point. Yeah.
Yep. So originally the scene where Katy puts the handcuffs on Laura was supposed to be her freaking out, but Ileana Douglas and him basically improvised her reaction because she said she was drunk and she was out there to have a good time, so she thought it was just silly, sexy fun.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't turn out to be that way. So
no.
I actually think the scene works better that way because you see her go from like, hey, this is kinky, to holy shit.
What happened? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really about all that they got in here. The rest of it's kind of a Christina Applegate also auditioned for the role. This is the first film that Scorsese did in his career where he actually let the screenwriter be on the set during filming, so that's kind of cool.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is a neat one here. The score by Elmer Bernstein is not only an arrangement of Bernard Herrmann's original Cape Fear, but he also used parts of unused score from Torn Curtain. So it's basically kind of a redo score. Okay. And it is a great score. I mean, the music's really cool in it.
Yeah.
I dig the score. I've got a little snippet of it here. The climactic scene at the swamp was filmed out at a state park in the middle of a swamp, and a tropic depression set over the set, and it was basically shut down for 4 days because there was too much rain, so that they could make their own rain later,
which is weird.
That
makes sense. That makes sense.
I guess so they
could
control it.
They had to save the water from the rain so that they could
exactly,
use
it. So Gregory Peck completed his filming for his cameo scene in 1 day.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't have much of it. It was like one little scene there. It took 17 weeks to film it in South Florida. Robert Redford was considered for the role of Sam, the Nick Nolte role. Mm-hmm. He probably could have done it, but I don't think he could have the intensity.
He's a flat actor, too.
And Sarah Jessica Parker was originally cast as Danielle, and she backed out.
Horse face.
Yeah. So that's about all the facts here. The only other one that really stands out is the first film that Martin Scorsese ever uses special effects in. The scene when Max Katie walks out of the prison, all the clouds in the background, green screen.
Yeah.
And then when he's sitting on the wall of the house with the fireworks, that's all green screen as well. But other than that, no optical effects.
Cool.
So, yeah, pretty cool. Could you see Brad Dourif as Max Katie?
Yeah.
I think he could have. He's not. He could have pulled it off, but I don't think he has the. And I hate to say that Robert De Niro has sex appeal, but you know he can pull off the kind of. You know, you could see him schmoozing a girl, and I can't really see Brad Dourif doing that per se.
No.
But so that's basically it.
That's a good topic.
Yeah.
Who other than De Niro could you see playing that part? Thinking in the 90s.
In the 90s or now, if you wanted to recast it.
Either or. Let's play with that.
Who do you think? You know who I think could play that role? Mm. He's already kind of. You could probably just use his regular accent. Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, I could see him doing it.
Because he's played like Killer Joe and stuff. He can do the creepy stuff.
Killer Joe's a good movie.
It is a good movie. It's a very good movie. But I mean, I've seen he can do that intensity. Yeah.
Oh,
and he brought that with True Detective as well.
Southern accent.
Yeah. I think
Hello,
he could.
Counselor.
Yeah. I think
all
he could pull it off.
All right.
And who would you think would play Sam?
I think Tom Hanks would be great at it.
Yeah.
Because he'd have a little more pathos
and a little more gravitas as well.
And Tom Hanks is smaller, so you could see him being a little bit more intimidated. Nick Nolte being as big a guy as he was, it's like, dude, you could have done something. Mm. You know, Tom Hanks would have been good in that part.
Yeah, I agree.
Jessica Lange, well, I've never liked her at all.
Yeah. I like her in the boat scene. The scene where she's telling him not to rape his daughter, or not to rape my daughter, and rape me, and trying to convince him that she's into him, but you can tell she's like trying to just fighting not to cry. Yeah. That I thought was a very well acted scene.
She was solid in that.
Yeah,
but for the most part, it's just not a great role for a woman. I mean, it really, she does nothing for the most part. Snark at him every now and then. Mm-hmm. That scene was good.
Yeah,
but other than that, it's a thankless role.
Yeah. There's a little moment in the movie. I don't know if you caught this or you haven't seen it in a long time or whatever, but there's a moment after she has sex with Nick Nolte where she's sitting in a mirror looking at herself and she puts on lipstick, and that's when Max Katie shows up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that was there, and there's really no definitive reason of why it's there, but they think it's like it's her feeling the sexual tension in the air, that his arrival's there, and she's putting on the lipstick for him, not knowing it, and then when she sees him, she wipes it off.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of an interesting little weird Scorsese thing, I guess. I don't know if that was even in the script, but it's one of those weird kind of moments. Yeah. It's kind of a neat way to... But why do you have to kill the maid?
Yeah. And the dog.
I know, the dog.
Kill the dog.
I know.
And he gets mad. He's like, why'd you let the dog out?
I didn't let the dog out.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting in their house and doing creepy things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a panty sniffer. Mm-hmm. Probably.
Max Katie. One of the worst villains in movie history.
Yeah.
Not based on Ed Gein.
No, not based on Ed Gein. Not based on it. And I definitely consider this a thriller. I wouldn't say it's a horror movie, but it could be categorized that as for Halloween if
it
you want to do that.
Scary moments.
It is pretty scary, yeah. And the end is like brutal, man. I mean, that ending scene is whew.
Yeah.
I love that part where I love it, but I think it's a funny moment in a very intense scene. Where he's talking to Danny and trying to, you know, you can see that he got to her and that she liked him for a hot minute. But mm-hmm. then once, you know, he killed the maid and killed mm-hmm. Joe Don Baker, she's kind of like turned against him at that point. Mm-hmm. And she pretends that she likes him, and then she throws that hot water on him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, are you trying to offer me something hot? Like, wow. Jeez.
What a bastard.
He is. He's just a total bastard.
Oh, jeez.
And just all the you know, religious overtones of mm-hmm. you know, him thinking that he's been wronged. And there is a real big debate online about that. If you read up in the IMDb page,
yeah.
in the message boards, mm-hmm. which is a scary place to go sometimes because there's a lot of fucked up
Dude,
people
I used to
on
live
IMDb
there. I used
message
to live on
boards.
That. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of talk about people taking Max Cady's side, saying that he was the good guy and that Nolte was the bad guy. And I'm like, really? I mean, yes, he was wronged. Yes, he did the prison time, but that doesn't, you know, avenges his mind on his arm. And yeah. you know, he's basically, you kind of take from the Bible what you want, what works for you. And his take from the Bible is, if I've been wronged, it's eye for an eye.
Yeah.
That type of thing, you know.
Right.
So, I don't know, man. That's there
what was
a
the movie just recently where they switched who was the good guy and who was the bad guy. Was it?
I don't know.
It was all over Facebook and stuff.
Oh, where they were saying that this guy was actually the bad guy and this guy was actually the good guy.
Karate Kid.
Ralph Macchio was actually the bad guy.
Yeah.
That kind of made more sense.
It did,
you know,
a little bit. Not much, but a little
because
bit.
Because he was a punk kid who was basically just trying to take this other guy's girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
If you look at it that way. And then just destroys that guy's life, basically. Mm. He's like Cobra Kai badass, and now he gets his ass kicked by this little wimpy kid.
And apparently that crow move is illegal. And
yeah, exactly. Well, that's the whole thing. There's no head punches. You can't punch mm-hmm. anybody in the head. That doesn't count.
But he kicks him
he
in the
kicks
nose.
Him in the head. It's like, how would you win with that move? That doesn't really work for me.
Wow.
That's kind of weird.
Yep.
But definitely a cool flick, and it's, you know, it is a pretty creepy flick. It's not one of those ones that's fun to watch necessarily.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it's one that I'm going to watch every year because it's like, I ought to watch Cape Fear again, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think kind of all Scorsese stuff falls in that category, though. Not
yeah.
A, not
maybe, maybe Goodfellas is something to watch more than once.
Yeah, but even then, it's just, you know, the brutality of that movie. And
it's just so heavy.
It is. I mean, but the thing I liked about Goodfellas, and that's probably one of my favorite Scorsese's, is the tonal change in it and how you go from the 70s to the 80s with all the coke stuff, and the mm-hmm. movie gets, you know, the cuts get a lot faster, and there's a lot of zoom-ins and stuff, and I thought it really was cool that he portrayed that. The way that he portrayed being on speed was very cool. It made the audience feel like you're very paranoid.
Right.
And it was well done. But I think that, you know, kind of goes back to editing again. Mm-hmm. So he's definitely got good cinematographer. He's definitely got good editors. And I think he's a good storyteller, Scorsese.
He is. I mean, to me, it's a lot of the same story. He's great at what he does. He knows his niche, and he's good at it. And it was good to see him step outside of that niche.
And looking at Scorsese's, you know, his list of films here, and there is a lot of stuff that's, you know, all in the gangster genre, but he does have some standouts for me that I thought were very good. Raging Bull is one of them, probably one of the better roles for De Niro as well. Mm-hmm. And Joe Pesci was less annoying mm-hmm. than he was in Goodfellas. King of Comedy I liked a lot. I remember
God,
liking
I've
that
seen
movie
it
a lot.
So long, but yeah. I did like it.
Yeah, great movie. After Hours is hilarious. A good dark comedy with Griffin Dunn. Don't remember. Yeah,
that
check
one.
That. If you haven't seen it, it's very very good. And then you get into the Color of Money.
Oh, I forgot
Downer.
He did that.
Yeah, he did that. Last Temptation of Christ, which was very controversial.
Yes.
Goodfellas was a big one for him. Cape Fear was the next one after that. Age of Innocence I did not like. Michael Jackson's video Greatest Hits, I wasn't a big fan of that.
What?
He directed Bad.
He did?
The Bad video.
Okay. Oh, I think I knew that.
Casino.
Actually, I like that movie for the most part.
I never saw Cundin, which was the...
Who?
Cundin.
Oh, I thought you said
something else. I said Corojo.
Yeah.
Bringing Out Your Dead, which I thought was actually, it was fun, different for him. Gangs of New York was another gangster movie, but I actually liked that one pretty well.
Did you?
I thought it was pretty good. You didn't like it? I didn't like elements of it.
I thought Jeremy Irons over. Is it Jeremy Irons?
No, you're talking about
who's the guy?
The main guy? Yeah. Daniel Day-Lewis,
yes.
Yeah. He definitely overacts, and I didn't like... by what's your name in it? Cameron Diaz.
Oh, yeah.
Was grossly miscast in that movie. The Aviator? Did you like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one that was a little against type for him. The Departed? That's a beatdown. Shutter Island, I thought was entertaining.
It was not bad. Yeah. I liked it. Yeah.
And then I liked the Boardwalk Empire series, but he only did a little bit of that. He produced mostly on that. Mm-hmm. Hugo, which was a family film. I actually liked that quite a bit.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen it.
And Wolf of Wall Street was very reminiscent of Goodfellas in the style of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a one-time watch. I enjoyed it, but not something I'm going to watch all the time. But that, if you look at it, basically on the cover of everything, most of his movies are kind of one-time watches for me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he tackles a lot of difficult stuff.
Did he do Taxi Driver?
Back when. Yeah. I mean, way before. Taxi Driver, Mean Streets, those were his first real two with what's his name? Mean Streets was in 73. Boxcar Bertha, I guess, was his first before Mean Streets. And then Taxi Driver was in 76. New York. A lot of older stuff, you know.
I forgot he did New York. My voice cracked. I forgot he did New York.
What's the one where De Niro plays the trump player or whatever?
Yeah. And kind of a...
Liza Minnelli,
yeah.
Was she in that?
I think so.
God, that's been a gazillion years since I've seen that.
My mom loved Liza Minnelli, so it probably was her.
Yeah, it was Liza Minnelli. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, who knows? Liza
Minnelli. I've only liked her in Arthur.
Yeah, she was good in Arthur.
She was good in Arthur.
She was good. She was a good sort of pseudo-straight man to him.
Yeah.
And she had funny moments.
She had the funny parts.
Yeah. Gielgud was basically the straight man, but he had a lot of great lines, too. Shall I wash your dick, sir?
Great movie.
Yeah, great movie.
Does he smoke cigars in that? We need to review.
We just thought the same thing. We got to review that.
I don't know if he does.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. He's a rich guy. All rich guys smoke cigars.
Every rich guy.
And some poor guys like me.
Yeah, and me.
But yeah, so I mean, overall, it's a good movie. It's definitely worth a watch. You know, it's difficult stuff, though. I mean, it's not a fun movie by any means.
No, it's not happy, feel-good stuff.
No. Not at all. Not at all. But it
do
does
watch
have its moments.
Both. I really recommend the original also. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm curious for you to see it and see what you think.
Did they have the whole speaking in tongues thing in the original?
No.
Remember that. This little fun moment of De Niro's here.
I'd forgotten about that.
It's at the end when he's drowning.
Yeah.
But he, and, you know, I think it only works because earlier when he's in the boat with them and he's about to kill them all, he talks about his dad being a preacher and the snakes and stuff and the whole speaking in tongues thing. And he uses that with Jessica Lange. That was his other creepy sex line where he's like, a couple of minutes with me, you'll be speaking in tongues.
Yeah, he's a creepy.
He is a creepy bastard in that movie. So, yeah, if you want to see Robert De Niro do kind of a bad accent and be creepy, that's the movie to watch.
Exactly.
You want to see Nick Nolte kind of just walk through a movie?
Yes, exactly. He probably acted better in that mugshot.
Where he looked like Bill the Cat.
Yeah,
exactly. His hair's all fucked up. I mean, can you think of a Nick Nolte movie where you just were like, yeah, he was awesome in that?
No.
Not even North Dallas 40?
Not even North Dallas 40. Yeah. He was okay in it.
Yeah.
You know. No.
Meh. So we're not big fans of Nick Nolte here on the show.
Not really.
Not really. I'm going to make you watch Extreme Prejudice now because there's a lot of cigars in that. Powers Booth smokes cigars.
I like Powers Booth. Powers Booth's in it. I'm willing to get
Yeah, he's
I've
awesome
seen
in it.
It.
He's
I
awesome.
I think I've seen it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. He has a great lines in that. He has all the great lines in that besides Rip Torn. I think they both have pretty much the good stuff.
And we need to do an underrated actors list.
Yeah.
And Powers Booth would definitely be on there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
He should be a much better
better position than he is now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome actor. And he always brings that to whatever he does. I can't.
You know when he did the Jim Jones thing?
Yeah.
They had a actor's strike or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so no one was supposed to show up for the Emmys.
Yeah.
But he knew he was going to win, so he
so
showed
he went
up.
And showed up.
Hell yeah.
He's like, hell yeah, I'm going to get my Emmy.
That's not his anima, his Emmy.
Going to get my anima. That'd be horrible. I wonder how many people would show up to the Emmys if they showed up and it was all enemas.
Exactly.
Come get your enema.
We had to give them that gift bag for enema.
Get some adult diapers in there so you can hold it in. Jeez.
That's funny.
There'd probably be people that still show up, though, because they want that They want that award.
Yeah.
Even if it is shoved in their ass.
Hell, I'm showing up. I'm going to win an Emmy. I'm showing up. I don't give a fuck.
I wouldn't want to win, but I'd be there.
No, I don't want the anima, but I meant the actual anima.
If you win, you just sent your stunt double up there.
Yeah,
he looks enough like me. Send him up there. He'll take it.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll get it later. Just make sure
you're
it's
my stand-in.
Right. And we're off the rails officially.
Yes, officially. The Enema Awards. It sounded like that's what you were going to say.
I know. I screwed up. Yeah. I'm a pro.
You are. We both are.
Oh, man. All right. So we're just going to go ahead and wrap. We don't really have any news today, so we'll wrap it up. Where can they find us, Randy?
iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. I'm at RandyRankin43 on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Randy Rankin 95 on Instagram.
And I am at Captain Funky Pants on the Twitter. And on Instagram, I am Cigar_Luna. And don't forget to check out our Twitter for the actual podcast, which is at Cigars in Cinema. And it's also on the Instagram as well for that. Yep. And I'll start to post more stuff on that. But please give us comments. We need comments. Go to Twitter, request movies for us. Go to the YouTube, put comments there. Put comments on iTunes. Give us a review for Cigars and Cinema, because the only reviews we have on iTunes right now are for the old Calypso Cigar Review. So if we'd appreciate some reviews on Cigars and Cinema. Let us know what you like about it, what you want to change, and we won't do it, but we'd like to listen anyway.
But we like to hear it.
Good review, bad review, we don't care. Just, you know, let us know what's going on, what you think about the show.
Yep.
So, as always, it's been great smoking with you.
See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy. I think that went pretty well, didn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
A little clunky with the thing.
Yeah.
And I just talked over it, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's still fun.
Yeah.
This is the after show banter.
To me. It started to get slower on my
Yeah, it's weird. It's
it
weird.
It was like, what?
The delay is a little off-putting, yeah. It really is.